name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Dear Christian friends, we have before us the well-known golden rule that Jesus speaks. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we'll see here that this is not mere moralism. This isn't some law for you to succeed in life. This actually describes the whole life of a Christian who is connected to Christ, who personifies the golden rule. By the way, did you know in Asia there is something called the silver rule, which is the flip side of the golden rule. And the silver rule goes, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. But Jesus does the positive. Do to others as you would do unto them. A beautiful example of that today is Joseph in the Old Testament lesson. You remember his brothers, jealous of him, had thrown him into a pit. And he was sold into slavery in Egypt. And after he had become great under the Pharaoh in Egypt, and when his brothers, not recognizing him, come to get food, and he reveals himself to his brothers that I am Joseph, your brother, and they are astonished, fearing the worst, that he would punish them. Rather, Joseph forgave them and said, God was merciful, and God was using all of your evil for good to help many people. God was working behind the scenes through all of this. He forgave them. A remnant indeed was preserved because from Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob, and through Judah and David and Mary and Joseph, we have the ancestry and the line of Jesus, which was preserved by God through Joseph. And thus, Jesus personifies the golden rule. So we will look at what does it mean that we obey the golden rule, and we also, like our Lord, do unto others what we would have them do to us. In order to do this, we have to look at this text in three ways. First of all, we have to see that because of our old Adam, our sinful nature, the sinner part of us does not obey the golden rule. In fact, because of our old Adam and our sinful nature, we do exactly the opposite of the golden rule. Then, secondly, we will look at how Jesus kept the golden rule through his active and passive obedience, sacrificed on our behalf as the second Adam, who has come to undo the curse, so that through the gospel we are justified. Jesus personifies the golden rule. And then thirdly, how do we as saints baptized into Christ Jesus as new man, how do we then practice the golden rule, which is the life of faith that flows as sanctification flows from justification and as a tree bears good fruit? So let's begin. Begin first with this sad reality that we all know, that when it comes to the golden rule, the old Adam, the sinner in us, does not want to obey the golden rule, but does exactly the opposite. We indeed are sinners. We confessed it at the beginning of the service before we heard absolution. St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 this morning, by one man, sin and death came into the world. And you know, that's Adam, our original father, in Genesis chapter 3. Thus, in Adam all die, Paul said. Why do we all die? Because the old Adam has no knowledge of the true God. Everything in life is perishable, and we die. You know what the sinful nature is, which we've inherited ever since Adam and Eve rebelled. Already in our mother's womb, we are in rebellion against God, turned in on ourselves. We want everything and everyone to serve us. So because of that sin called original sin, we commit sins of omission and commission. We commit wrongs and we omit to do the right. And then the sins that we do are in our thoughts and in our words and in our deeds. And we don't listen to the second table of the law. We don't love our neighbor as ourself. We love ourself, period, according to the sinful nature. So according to the old Adam and our sinful nature, it's exactly the opposite of the golden rule. Because of that old Adam, we hate our enemies and want to get back at them. As the saying goes, I don't get mad, I get even. There you go. I don't get mad, I get even. Had a blank there for a second. Hating our enemies, doing evil to others, and cursing those who curse us. Someone curses us, we curse them right back. We don't really want to pray for those who abuse us. And when we're struck, we strike back. We may turn away from those who truly are needy and beg from us. And we're glad to love those who love us. We're glad to do good to those who do good to us. Everyone does that. But if we expect in return, if we want earthly rewards, and we judge and condemn other people and refuse to forgive and are stingy in how we help one another, then we are not loving our neighbor as ourselves. We are loving ourselves above all. So that old Adam that we all struggle with wants its own way and wants nothing to do with the golden rule. Well, how can we be set free from that? How can we have a different life than the life of the sinful, unbelieving world? Only through Jesus Christ. So secondly, we consider this truth. Jesus Christ kept the golden rule perfectly through what is called his active and passive obedience, well, which I will explain in a moment. He is the second Adam who comes to undo the curse of the first Adam in the garden. And through justification through the blood of Christ, through this second Adam, we see how the golden rule is kept perfectly by our Lord Jesus. Consider Jesus Christ, as Paul explained in 1 Corinthians 15 today. By him has come the resurrection of the dead. How is that? Jesus' active obedience means this. He perfectly kept the Ten Commandments in our place. He never sinned. As the second Adam representing all of us as our substitute, he kept the law perfectly. He served his Father with heart, mind, soul, and strength, and he loved his neighbor as himself. Then he passively obeyed the Father by allowing himself to be crucified to destroy death by dying in our place upon the cross. He allowed Pontius Pilate, even though Jesus was without sin, to crucify Jesus in our place, where Jesus became sin for us, and Jesus now becomes our righteousness as our Redeemer. Through that, St. Paul says, we have justification and resurrection and an imperishable body through the kingdom of God the Father. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will give us imperishable bodies when we are raised, shows that Jesus is the second Adam. Jesus, as I said before, as true God and true man, personifies the golden rule. Think of the life of Jesus. He loved his enemies, even those who crowned him with thorns. He did good to those who hated him. The soldiers spit on him. They nailed his hands and his feet to the cross. They pierced him with a spear. Did Jesus respond in hate? He says to the Father, no. He says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He prayed for those who abused him. Though the robbers cursed him, the one robber who repented heard Jesus say, today you will be with me in paradise. And he was hanging on the cross next to Jesus. They struck Jesus in the cheek. They slapped him in the face, and he did not respond in kind. Jesus, throughout his whole ministry, gave to anyone who asked of him, the blind man who wanted sight, the deaf man who wanted to hear. He expected nothing in return. He did this out of pure mercy. Why? Jesus is the Son of the Most High. Jesus is the one who is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. He came for sinners like you and me. He is the good physician. He is the good shepherd. He laid down his life and is kind to us, even when we are ungrateful and evil. He is merciful to us as his Father in heaven is merciful. He showed mercy to the woman caught in adultery and called her to repentance and faith. He showed mercy to the publicans and the sinners as he ate with them and said, "Go and sin no more." He has shown mercy to you, and in the words of absolution today told you, your sins are forgiven. And as you come to the Lord's table, "Here is my body and blood." Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. Do you see how merciful he has been to you and to me each and every day? And he did not judge and condemn. It's true, at the last day he will come as the judge to separate the sheep, the believers, from the goats on the left. And judgment day is coming, and he will sit on the judgment throne in glory. But when he was incarnate here on earth, he didn't come to condemn people, but to forgive them, to give them the good measure running over of the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus has blotted out with his own holiness your own sin. Many of us have used whiteout, especially in the days of typewriters, and you had to take whiteout when you made a mistake and cover up the area where you typed incorrectly, and then you would type over it. And the whiteout blotted it out so you could type something else and correct the mistake. Jesus has, if you will, blotted out our sin. He has, with the white righteousness that he alone has blotted out the sin, and we go on, and the sin is washed clean, blotted out by the white righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of how the Lord has been merciful to you in your life and sent people to you that modeled forgiveness. Every one of us sitting here has done something really wrong to somebody, of which we were ashamed and which our conscience bothered us. And if you were so fortunate as to have this person be a brother or sister in Christ, and you went and confessed your sin to them, and they fully forgave you, you know what that felt like. For that sin to be forgiven, for the relationship to be healed, for your conscience to be unburdened, because you know this person modeled Christ's forgiveness to you. If we had time, every one of us here could share a time when another Christian forgave us and it changed our life and it enabled us to go forth and go on. Thomas Edison, the inventor, one time had spent a whole day with his team getting this light bulb exactly correct. And he had the little boy who worked for him told him to take it up the stairs, up to the upstairs so they could test the light bulb. And the little boy was nervous and he made it almost all the way to the top of the steps. But all of us have kids. He dropped it and it broke and shattered. He came down just heartbroken. Thomas Edison said nothing. They spent a whole nother day, had to recreate the light bulb again. And who did he ask to take back up the steps? The same little boy was now entrusted with the light bulb, had been forgiven, given a second chance, and brought the light bulb carefully up the steps. The Lord blots our sin, forgives us, gives us a second chance so that we, as saints in Christ, can gladly forgive others as we have been forgiven. So thirdly then, what about you and me? How do we, as saints in Christ, as new man, born again through the waters of holy baptism, justified by grace, live the sanctified life like a tree that bears good fruit, flowing from our faith, loving our neighbor as ourself? First of all, knowing that you are a saint in Christ. The imperishable Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit has given you faith to know that I am a saint. I am covered in the white robes of Christ's righteousness, crucified with him, buried with him, raised with him, ascended with him, and will appear when he comes in glory along with him. From that faith will flow good works. Like Luther said, we are saved by faith alone, but faith is never alone. True faith will always be exhibited by good works, like a tree bears good fruit. So then, as new man in Christ, we love the golden rule. We're glad to love our enemies and to do good to those who hate us and bless those who curse us and pray for those who abuse us and offer our cheek to those who strike, because the Father has forgiven me and shown mercy to me. I freely forgive and show mercy to others, because I'm not of this world. I'm of the world to come. We as saints can give to those who are in need. We love not just those who love us. We don't expect things in return. Why? We are sons of the Most High through faith in Christ. We are kind to those who are ungrateful and evil. We are merciful as our Father in heaven is merciful. We forgive others in good measure. Just like I asked you before what it was like to be forgiven by someone, I'm sure there's a time in your life as a Christian you have freely forgiven someone, and it has changed that person and changed their relationship, and you were happy to be the vessel by which Christ's forgiveness personally came to that person in that situation. That happened during the Revolutionary War to a man named Michael Whitman. He had a pastor named Peter Miller in Epirta, Pennsylvania. Michael Whitman didn't like his pastor. He constantly opposed and humiliated his pastor at the church. It just happened that Peter Miller, his pastor, was a very good friend of George Washington. And there was a time when this Michael Whitman got in trouble, and he ended up being arrested for treason and sentenced to die. So his pastor, whom he hated, Peter Miller, walked 70 miles on foot to Philadelphia to plead to George Washington for the life of this man. He pleaded for his life, but George Washington said to his friend, "No, Peter, I cannot grant you the life of your friend." And the pastor said, "My friend, he's my most bitter enemy." "What?" cried Washington. "You have walked 70 miles to save the life of an enemy? That puts this matter in a different light. I'll grant your pardon." And he did. Now, Pastor Miller took Michael Whitman, and they walked 70 miles back to Epirta, Pennsylvania. The enemies were now friends through forgiveness. The Lord Jesus Christ can use you to bring the personal forgiveness of Christ that you've experienced into the lives of others. So, this is how we understand the golden rule. Not some moralism that we try to remember each day, but rather a description of the life of a Christian. We are called Christians. We've died and been raised with Christ. We love our enemies. We do good to those who hate us and pray for those who abuse us. Give to those in need. Be merciful. Don't judge or condemn, but forgive in good measure. Why? We are called sons of the Most High. God the Father has been merciful to us, and we will be merciful to others. So, my friends, in Jesus Christ our Lord, we truly understand the whole way of life of the golden rule, doing unto others as you would have them do to you. Because you are a justified saint, and in your sanctified life as a Christian, you will be a good tree and are a good tree that bears good fruit, loving and forgiving others and doing good, because the Heavenly Father has loved and forgiven us. To the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.